Continuing the discussion of Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 801 Arika. I've spoken quite a lot on this topic of the sun's illumination, and now I'll go into a subtopic of this consideration of the sun's illumination and how we can understand Krishna in relation to this. A subtopic of this is how the sun dissipates the darkness. In this regard, there is a famous verse among Gaudiya Vaishnavas from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Sanatana Goswami. Krishna Surja Shama Mayahoy Andhaka Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Mayar Adhika. Srila Prabhupada's translation, Krishna is compared to sunshine and Maya is compared to darkness. Wherever there is sunshine, there cannot be darkness. As soon as one takes to Krishna consciousness, the darkness of illusion, the influence of the external energy, will immediately vanish. So the analogy is very clear. In the sunlight, there cannot be darkness. What is darkness? Absence of light. So what is illusion? It is absence of Krishna consciousness. When we're in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be illusion. Of course, there is a twilight state also. As we see every morning and every evening, the period of dawn and dusk, where the sun is just about to come up and is just coming up and then comes up and then becomes very strong, strong heat. February here in Tamil Nadu, 35 Celsius. And then dusk also. gradually the sun's light appears to diminish. Actually, the sun's light does not diminish, but the amount that comes through to us diminishes and then becomes gradually settles into darkness. So in the same way, when we take to Krishna consciousness, we start to see light for the first time ever, and that light gradually increases. As we go on chanting, hearing and chanting about Krishna, and then it becomes very strong. So we should always remain in the sunshine. And not allow the darkness to come back in our lives, because really it's dark. Really, people are suffering tremendously. You can just remember our life before taking to Krishna consciousness. And then so many others are suffering much, so much. Just in this regard, I bring to mind a video I saw of Mahotsaha Prabhu distributing books, and there was one lady who, black-skinned in Atlanta, USA, who was wearing a t-shirt that said, "I'm black, but I don't crack." In this context, for those of you who don't know, crack refers to a highly addictive drug, illegal drug, which gives, so I'm told, by Krishna's grace, I never tried it. I don't think it was even in existence before I came to Krishna consciousness. But cocaine, from which it's derived, that was there. And by Krishna's mercy, I didn't take that either. So it gives you a real rush, a real high for a short time, so we're told. But then the people who become addicts of drugs, their life becomes very black, very dark, very, very, very deeply miserable, suffering intensely. And so many people, they're just living for sexual attraction. There are sex partners here, there, everywhere. There's no feeling between the people. Just raw sex, more brutal, more brutish than the animals, and they just go on like that, and on and on and on, and there's no love in their life. Yesterday I was reading how devotees, they experienced how Srila Prabhupada brought love in their life. Remember that most of these devotees were from a hippie background, and the hippies, all they talked about was love, 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 love. All you need is love. An anecdote that was told to me by my one godbrother, Purnachandra Maharaj, who's passed away, as a householder in London, he was living close to the temple in an apartment. And just on the same floor, there was a young woman, single woman, and he used to see her bringing regularly different men to her apartment. And he said something to her one day that, oh, you have a lot of friends, something like that. So a little poking sarcastically. She said, yes. And he looked her right in the eyes and said, are you happy? And she was jolted. And then she just burst into tears. Phew. That is the story of a billion lives. Krishna consciousness is light. Here's a quote from a letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote in 1969 explaining this principle. When one is not in Krishna consciousness, then he is Maya consciousness or in illusion. Just like when one is not in light, he is sure to be in darkness. Because absence of light means darkness. Similarly, to be forgetful of Krishna means one is in Maya, the darkness of ignorance. Just like when you turn away from the sun, you see the darkness of your shadow. But when you turn your face to the sun, then there is no question of a shadow. The whole principle of spiritual life is to turn our attention back to Krishna and thus immediately be freed from all entanglements of Maya. It's a typical statement of Srila Prabhupada, just capturing the essence succinctly, simply, clearly. The whole principle of spiritual life is to turn our attention back to Krishna and thus immediately be freed from all entanglements of Maya. And again, I want to underline that although we're talking in a manner which is philosophical, it's very real. It's not just some philosophical idea. People are really suffering. We are really suffering in this material world. It's not just some philosophical idea. It's a fact. Here's another well-known verse. This is from Bhagavatam about the influence of the sun in dissipating fog. The sun dissipates the darkness. In the cold season, not so much here in South India, quite prominent in North India and definitely in northern climes like Northern Europe. In the winter, even when the sun rises, you can't see much if there's a lot of fog. But as the sun goes up and becomes stronger, then the fog is dissipated. So the famous verse, some of you may have guessed it already, Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanaha aghang dhunvanti kartsnyena niharam eva bhaskaraha. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. So the example is that of becoming free from sin. And prior to the statement of this verse by Shukadeva Goswami in the beginning of the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, there had been discussion of how the process of atonement, performing pious activities to try to cover up one's or amend for one's sinful activities. The process of atonement, according to the Karma Kanda, that does not stop sin, because the tendency to sin continues. And even the Jnana Kanda, by which one cultivates spiritual knowledge, but in this context, Jnana Kanda means cultivating spiritual knowledge of oneself being a spiritual by nature, but not specifically cultivating love of Krishna, that also cannot fully destroy the desire for sinful activity within the heart, because Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andhakar, unless we're in the sunlight of Krishna consciousness, then there must be the darkness of Maya, even if it may not be the full darkness of night, but at least the shadow will be there. It's not clear, unadulterated seeing. How can pure devotional service dissipate all sinful reactions and even the tendency to perform sinful actions? The example is given here, that the fog, when we're in the fog, it's what can you do about it? It's dangerous for drivers. They can't see, and we can't do anything about it, but the sun is very powerful, and the sun easily dissipates the fog. So we ourselves, by our own efforts, cannot dissipate the desire to sin. But when we allow the sun of Krishna to rise in our hearts, then the very powerful sun of Krishna is much more powerful than the influence of Maya or illusion, and therefore, very easily, Maya is dissipated by Krishna consciousness. In this regard, I'll read two sentences from Srila Prabhupada's book, The Matchless Gift, Krishna Consciousness, The Matchless Gift. Srila Prabhupada writes, or actually spoke it, and later it was transcribed and edited and published. Srila Prabhupada, the sun immediately dissipates mist or fog as well as darkness. We should try to make the sun of Krishna rise within our hearts. So, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and all the disciplic succession, I may wish to all the hearers of this talk, may the Krishna sun shine in your heart. How does that happen? What do we do to make the Krishna sun rise within our hearts? May the Krishna sun rise within our hearts. May the Krishna sun rise within our heart. What do we have to do? Chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this regard, I'm going to read some verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the Antilila, chapter 3. This is in the course of a discussion between Nama Acharya, Haridas Thakur, and the anti-Vaishnava, Gopal Chakravarti, who did not believe in the power of the holy name. Srila Haridas Thakur quoted a Sanskrit verse, which is also found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Tang nirvajam bhaja guna nidhe pavanam pavananam shraddha rajan matir atitaram uttama shlokamolim. Prodyan anta karana kuhare hantayan nama bhanur abhaso pi kshapiyati mahapataka dvanta rashim. Here the word for sun, remember we're discussing about the sun, Krishna as the sun. Here the word for sun is given as bhanu. Namabhanoho. The holy name is like the sun, which antakarana kuhare, within the cave or the cavity within the heart that shines. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation of this verse, O reservoir of all good qualities, just worship Sri Krishna, the purifier of all purifiers, pavanam pavananam, the most exalted of the personalities worshipped by choice poetry. And that's the most exalted of the personalities worshipped by choice poetry. That's a, what shall we say, a utilitarian, a practical translation of the highly poetic line in this verse, which to unpack it fully would take many words. Shraddha Rajan Matir Atitaram Uttamashloka Molim. Worship him, Krishna, with a faithful, unflinching mind, without duplicity, and in a highly elevated manner. Thus worship the Lord, whose name is like the sun. For just as a slight appearance of the sun dissipates the darkness of night, so a slight appearance of the holy name of Krishna can drive away all the darkness of ignorance that arises in the heart due to greatly sinful activities performed in previous lives. So, the purport of this verse, just to summarize it. Krishna is the purifier of all purifiers. Krishna is the most purifying, therefore we should worship Krishna with full attention and purified manner, indicating that we should worship him by chanting the holy names, because his name is like the sun, which just a slight appearance of the holy name of Krishna, the darkness of ignorance that covers the heart, and the heart is covered with so many sins from so many lifetimes, so many bad desires. But when the holy name arises in the heart, that dissipates all that darkness. And we can start to see. We can start to see who we are, just like in the darkness. We can't even see our body. But when the light of Krishna arises, we can understand, I'm not this body. And we start to see Krishna by hearing about him and chanting about him. Another verse from this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Angha sangharad akilam sakrid udayad eva sakala lokasya tarne eva timira jaladhim jayati jagan mangalam harer nama. As the rising sun immediately dissipates all the world's darkness, which is deep like an ocean, so the holy name of the Lord, if chanted once without offenses, dissipates all the reactions of a living being's sinful life. All glories to that holy name of the Lord, which is auspicious for the entire world. The example is given of an ocean. If you're on a ship in the middle of the ocean, you can see all the way to the horizon in all directions, a huge panorama, huge vista. Can't see it at all. Can't see the hand in front of you until the sun rises. And then you can see everything. Now, we can only see to the surface of the ocean, or a little bit, but it's very, very, very deep, and it gets darker. After a short distance, down in the water, it becomes completely dark. So like that, our heart is like a deep, dark ocean filled with muck, dirt, dirty water. But the Krishna sun dissipates all that darkness so we can see clearly. Actually, there's some seas, like the Adriatic. I'm not sure now. I guess sometimes when it gets very hot, it becomes full of algae and seaweed. But it's you can see quite clearly, quite deeply into the sea. But our hearts are like dirty water, all dirt. Krishna cleans the dirt by the holy name. Haridas Thakur explained all this. I'll read the verses. This is in simple Bengali verse. Haridas kohen joiche surjer udoy udoy na hoite arambhe tomer hoi koi chora preta rakshas adi bhoi hoi nash udoy hoile dharma karma Adi Parakash. Oiche namo doya rambhe papa adi koi udoi koile Krishna pade hoi prema doi. Haridas Thakur said, as the sun begins to rise, even before it is visible, it dissipates the darkness of night. With the first glimpse of sunlight, fear of thieves, ghosts, and demons immediately disappears. And when the sun is actually visible, everything is manifest and everyone begins performing his religious activities and regulative duties. Similarly, the first hint that offenseless chanting of the Lord's holy name has awakened dissipates the reactions of sinful life immediately. And when one chants the holy name offenselessly, one awakens to service in ecstatic love at the lotus feet of Krishna. Fear. This material world is a world of fear. Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesita set ishada petyasya viparyayor smritihi. Due to forgetting Krishna, instead of being safe at the abhay charan, the fearless lotus feet of Krishna, we declare our independence. And we become weak, but we like to think we're strong. But then if we're in the darkness of night and we're afraid, we don't like to admit it, but we're afraid. When the sun rises, then, now I can get on with my activities. But as long as the sun is not there, then we're afraid of thieves, robbers, ghosts, rakshasas, all kinds of bad things. So in the same way, when the Krishna sun arises in our heart, the name of Krishna, then we find that all the fear has gone away. Udita tapana hoile asta dingelo bale hobebe asta tabe keno ebe olasha hoi na bhaja hridaya raje. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu early in the morning would preach to the people that the sun has arisen, and now you're getting busy with your duties, but why are you lazy in the matter of worshipping Krishna? And specifically, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised to worship Krishna in the form of chanting his holy name. Nama shray kari jata nitumi taka apana kanja. You do your work, but take shelter of the holy name of Krishna. From the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes, if one simply chants the holy name of Krishna, this holy name will rise within one's heart like the powerful sun and will immediately dissipate all the darkness of ignorance. And note that Srila Prabhupada has put the emphasis on chanting the name offenselessly. The holy name will rise within one's heart like the powerful sun and will immediately dissipate all the darkness of ignorance. light up your life with Krishna by chanting the holy names of Krishna. But remember, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. The word Shravanam is mentioned first. Lighting up our life means with knowledge of Krishna. In this regard, yes, a very well-known verse. From Bhagavatam, about the Bhagavatam being like the sun, and specifically in this verse, the word Arka is used. Krishne swadhamo pagate dharma gyanadibi saha kalao nashta drsham esha puranako dhanoditaha. This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc., persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. Please read Srimad Bhagavatam. Get a set of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I'm looking here and seeing Hrishikesh is going through the third canto of Bhagavatam. His book is there. Brilliant as the sun. How is the Bhagavad Purana as brilliant as the sun? If we take the book, we don't have to wear sunglasses. But brilliant as the sun means just as the sun brilliantly illuminates everything. Bhagavatam brilliantly illuminates. Otherwise, we don't know what's going on. There are so many philosophers with so many different ideas, and they're very hard to understand, and sometimes you read about these Western philosophers, and I was just reading about Martin Heidegger, one of the most influential philosophers of the 20th century. The only problem with him was that no one could really understand what he was saying, and therefore you have different interpreters of the philosophers. The philosophers are supposed to be saying things to give an understanding of what's going on, but then they need people to, and different people interpret it in different ways. So it doesn't help at all. Another of the great philosophers of the 20th century, Wittgenstein, again, although he talks about language games, what's he saying? What does he mean? It's very hard for anyone to understand. So they're supposed to be giving clarity, but they're so hard to understand. You can't understand them at all. And then so many. Bertrand Russell, he wanted to show everything can be understood very logically. So he made his huge he was a mathematician, along with another British philosopher, Alfred North Whitehead. He made a huge Tractatus Philosophica, it was Latin name but written in English, using mathematical theory to try to prove whatever he wanted to prove. He spent hundreds of pages proving that 1 + 1 = 2. That was a great contribution to the world of philosophy. But yeah, these philosophers just make you more confused. I personally had this experience in my youth, reading different things and just getting so frustrated because they all say different things and they all sound like they think they know what they're talking about. Well, when you read them all, you get more confused. And I saw that someone was talking about their admission in a philosophy course at university, and they said that the professor at the beginning of the course said this is the only subject that when you finish the course you understood less about it than when you started. Bhagavatam is different. Bhagavatam is the light. It's clear. Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. There is God. God is a person. We are his eternal servants. Everything is clear. Read Bhagavatam. Light up your life with this knowledge as brilliant as the sun. No more glowworms. I'll just go one more example of how when we see the sun, we can think in terms of Krishna and Krishna conscious philosophy. This is a completely different one to those I've been discussing so far. This is also from Chaitanya Charitamrita. The difference between kaam, material desire or material lust, and prem, pure love for Krishna. One example given in Bhagavatam is in Chaitanya Charitamrita is the difference between iron and gold. Although they have much in common, they're very different also. And one is clearly more valuable than the other. Here's another example. Atev kama preme bahut antar, kama andhatama prem nirmal bhaskara. Therefore, lust and love are quite different. Lust is like dense darkness. The words used are here are andhatama, blind darkness. Tama, of course, also means the darkness of ignorance. But prem is a spotless, bright sun. So there's one more example. I don't know if we even have the capacity in our little Kali Yuga brains to remember all these things when we see the sun. Maybe we'll remember some of them. Remember Krishna. See the sun. Remember Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya chunakam padaya nipatya kritva cha kakushata metada humbravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kurutanu ragaha parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumokaro navayang vichara yamaha hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.